stance on my own, I cannot move any further. I have to take the help of Lord Krishna. This also is visible in the world's most successful program that helps people become free from all kinds of addictions. You know, substance addiction, that means to drugs, addictions to partnerships, where you develop a co-dependence on each other, addictions to alcohol, addiction to sexual excesses. It's the 12-step program which is most successful all over the world to help people come out of the grip of attachments. And it has this one point, is that you recognize alone, I tried so many times but failed. Now I'm turning to the Supreme Lord. The way they say it, to be culturally sensitive, I turn to a higher power and I request help from this higher power. So in Vaishnavism, this point is also there. When you want to do something and you feel it is maybe beyond your present scope, it could be if you want to make advancement, it could be if you want to become more useful in Krishna consciousness, it could be if you want to overcome a bad habit. At that time, if you turn to a source that has more potency and capability than you, that is Krishna, you will be successful. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was physically old and actually incapable to write, we understand he could not sit nor could he walk properly. He was so much attacked by old age that he couldn't keep a clear thought. He was always forgetting what he wanted to say and write down. But at that point, he had turned to Madan Mohan in the Madan Mohan Mandir in Brindavan Dham and had requested for help. He had said, I have gotten this request by the devotees to write about the final pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and I wish to do this service and write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but alone I'm incapable. Please help me. And at that time, shoop, you remember, a garland slipped from the neck of Madan Mohan, and the priest who was attending the day to the deity, his name was Gosanidas, he understood Madan Mohan has sent a sign to this devotee, and he picked up the garland and put it around the neck of Krishnadas Kaviraj as a sign of empowering him, as a sign of Madan Mohan, you can do it, I'm with you, don't worry that you forget everything and your hand trembles, I will make the impossible possible by my strength. I really want to bring this point a little bit to your attention, that you also learn to relate to Radha Madan Mohan in this way. It's very important when you start your deity worship that you understand the Lord is a person. I remember I once wanted to start the worship of Giriraj Shila, and I asked Shrishtikata, the husband of Gaurabhavini, for advice. Can you tell me something from your experience about worship? And he said to me, I always remember this, think twice. taking care of a Shila is something which one can only compare with taking care of a young baby who needs help every day, regularly. So, because he is a person, if you want to understand one thing about Madan Mohan or Radha Madan Mohan, they are persons who are on the altar. That means they hear your prayers, they see you, they see your mood when you come before them, and they can also act and do something. And because they're the Supreme Lord, they can perform extraordinary actions by their mercy. Things which are otherwise impossible can become well possible, easily possible. This is something which needs to be remembered when you are relating to Radha Madan Mohan. They are persons. They are there, and by their potency, everything is possible. They can enlighten your heart. This afternoon, I listened while taking prasadam to a lecture by His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, and he described in his lecture a particular heavy time in Vrindavan. Aurangzeb, the mighty tyrant, had made a decree, means an order, that all the temples in the Mathura district, that includes Vrindavan, would be destroyed totally. The English word is they would be razed down to the ground. Just like you take a razor and shave off any hair you have in the face or on the head. He wanted that the temples would be shaved off or taken off the landscape, and in their place where the fundaments of the temple were, the old fundaments, he ordered that a bigger mosque would be built. He was particularly intent on the Govindaji Mandir in Vrindavan, which was 7 stories high. He was so fanatically obsessed with the idea to destroy the temple, because once he had been with his astrologer in the evening in the cool breeze, and he had looked towards Vrindavan, and he noticed a bright light there. And he said, "Oh, I don't know this star. Is it a new star?" The astrologer said, "Sire, or your majesty, it's not a star. It's a light on top of the Govindaji temple." So Aurangzeb looked like a fool. He had thought the light on the Hindu temple was a star, and his ego was so much scratched that he decided to destroy, in particular or specifically, this temple. So when the army came and wanted to destroy the temple, there were many devotees who would stand around the temple, and they were holding the pillars and the walls, and oh, it's so bad and so disturbing to hear. And these to protest against destroying the temple, and they were killed. And it is described that their screams of terror as they were dying from the spears and the swords of the Muslim soldiers who mercilessly butchered them, they could be heard for a long distance. Now the night before the army came, Shivaram Goswami, the head priest of the temple, had heard news about it. There was one person at the court of Aurangzeb who was there when Aurangzeb ordered his general to start next morning to destroy the Govindaji temple. And he quickly, this person who overheard it, took his horse, which was called Pavana. Pavana means fast like the wind, and galloped to Shivaram Goswami and told him that they are coming. So Shivaram Goswami immediately ordered some of the devotees to take the deity of Govindaji and put it in a nearby pond to hide it, because they would not think that he thought the soldiers would not look in a pond for the deities. They would maybe look in different houses and homes, but not in a pond underwater. And this was done. Also, the writings of the Goswamis were taken out of the Govindaji temple in a wooden chest, and they were hidden in a muddy field, in the mud. So the soldiers came, and when they went inside the temple, there was no Govindaji on the altar. And yes, they wanted to break the temple, but more so, they wanted to break Govindaji. But no Govindaji. Shivaram had hit them at a place where they were just not thinking he would be. So Aurangzeb heard about it and said, there should be somewhere the clever Vaishnavas have hidden the deity. So they will also take him out of hiding, and they will try to bring him away from Vrindavan to a safer place. So he had all the time guards looking out for any suspicious devotee who would go and maybe take the deity. So after 10 days, so there was no chance to take Govindaji out of the Govindakund, it's called, a little pond nearby. There was no chance. After 10 days, Shivaram Goswami had a wonderful idea. Listen to what he did. He brought big clay pots like this and put them full of cow dung paddies, and on top he heaped some sheep wool, and he put these big pots all around the temple and around the Govinda Kund, where Govinda were lying and hiding. And he lit these pots. They were burning. This was often seen. You see it also in Mayapur. This is done because there's smoke, and the smoke is chasing the mosquitoes away. It looked like mosquito repellent. But Shivaram had another idea. Without anyone seeing it, he put palms full of opium powder into the fire. And then he took cloth and like this and so on. Now when all the Pasita Nitai would maybe not have covered his nose. when the guards came patrolling, you know, they smelled it, and they became first very enlivened, and then they felt tired and fell asleep. No, when you are, when people take opium, they usually fall asleep, and then they have these drugged dreams. People just for interest, they lie usually on a hip, and then they have the opium dreams, which are very pleasant for those who can appreciate. They are not nice for those who cannot appreciate. From this, the word hippies, they lie on the hip, has come. Just culture of cultural interest. So the gods, they're smelling this and boom, fall, they had their dreams. And when all the gods were fast asleep, Shivaram had his devotees dive into the lake and bring out this very large, heavy Govinda Dev deity. They put him on a big bullock cart and they took all the other deities out of hiding, and this bullock cart went in the night. It was with the deities on top. It was a big bullock cart. Here you can see it in Vrindavan and touch. No, in Jaipur and touch it. It's a saintly bullock cart. No? And they put all the deities on there, and then they went to Radhakund. They went for two reasons to Radhakund. First of all, Radhakund now is only 40 minutes drive, but at that time from Vrindavan, but at that time it was the very bad road with a lot of potholes, and it went just through the forest and so on. So Radhakund was really far away from Vrindavan, and it was a small place which many people didn't even know about. Second reason, which Shivaram Goswami had in his mind, in Radhakund there were Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So the message was sent to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Radhakund, and they received Govindaji and all the deities on the bullock cart, Hare Krishna. Then they put Govindaji under a banyan tree and gave him his first meal. Do you know what meal they gave? This is of interest to Damodar Priya. They gave him Shram Boga. Shram Boga is a preparation with Mother Yashoda used to cook and give Krishna Balaram after they had done so much Shram, means exertion, work to herd the cow. So this is a preparation which takes away all the stress of heavy work. I do not know the recipe. Shram Boga, no? It is something maybe Damodar Priya can find out, deep research, what is the recipe, and then we give it to Radha Madan Mohan after Jamashtami festival, when it was very intense, you know, intense work. So I like this very personal way of dealing with the devotees. And the Babaji's, or the devotees in Radhakund, worshipped Govindaji under a banyan tree, I think you know already. And they worshipped the deity with very, very personal items. No golden pot, no silver pots. They made clay pots in the evening, one day back, and then they were baked in the sun, and then they put all the preparations which they cooked for Govindaji, because they understood Govindaji is a person. He must be served. They put garlands around him from forest flowers, creepers, leaves, branches they used to decorate the deity, and they did a very, very natural worship with items from the forest every day for the deities. They didn't think the deity will take care of himself. They understood he was hidden under water, and he was riding on that bullock cart from Vrindavan to Radhakund. He must be very tired and exhausted and a little stressed. So they gave him the right preparation against stress. This is personal worship of the deity. They related to the deity in a very, very personal way. And that is also something I want to tell you. Be personal with Radha Madan Mohan. He is the Lord, and they are the mistress and lords of this community. By their mercy, we have somehow survived all difficulties in this project, and it seems better times are now coming. You have been the heroes of the worship. You have maintained it. You have maintained their place for them in the midst of the forest. Be personal. Maybe when you come, you can bring some forest flower and put it on the railing before them. Or you can tell them what you think, what is in your heart. You can pray for others to them. Try each one of you to understand this is not a statue. Statue. He's directly the son of Maharaj Nanda and the daughter of Brishabhanu Maharaj. They are there. I'm very convinced that if each member of this wonderful, blissful community learns to act in a more personal way, on whatever level they are now, that there will be divine and happy empowerment, both for your spiritual life as well as for what you want to offer in this project for the deities. And you will all of a sudden see that you will be empowered. I would like to close this point because some devotees have given me the feedback that they very much appreciated these two lectures, and they asked if I could give a summary of what I mean with empowerment. You have already heard point three, that if you want to do something for the Lord, you must be connected with the Vaishnavas, but also with Krishna on the altar. I was talking about this point three. But what is point one and two and four and five? Point one, if you really want to move forward in your life, learn to become detached from your plan and become very attached to Krishna's plan. Detachment is a word that I think 90% of my audience doesn't like. Let us say 95 to be more realistic. Or let us maybe put away for a moment all politeness and say 98% of the audience may not like it so much, because we are happy if we have found a situation where we can just exist and so on. But if you wish to go forward, please know it's good to give up not the things which you are comfortable, which help you, but the things which hold you back. And that is that is only possible if you develop a higher form of attachment. Detachment is only possible if you are very attached. Wow, what does this mean? You have to learn to become more attached to Krishna, to your relationship with the devotees, and Krishna, and so on. See in your relationships that you put an element of spiritual affection into the relationship, where you help the other person advance. And you will see how good attachment to these devotee relationships comes. Then, the next is empowerment is available to those who have a strong desire to serve. Often the question is raised, good, I understand I need to serve. What kind of services? There are three types of services. One is a service you are inspired to do. Today, one devotee told me, Maharaj, I would like to do this. He's inspired to do this. I cannot say when, maybe in a year or two, but I'm inspired to do it. No? That's good. That's a beginning in service. The second is look for services which are needed, where there's a need. Like I saw Jairam, who is a professor, I understand, or a doctor of some academic subject. He was going with a wheelbarrow, Schubkarre, sagt man. And he was taking care of the garbage. He was bringing the garbage away. Maybe that is not something which a normal academic does, but it is needed. No? To do service that is needed, that is a second type of service you can do. And the third service is still a little bit more intense. It's a service which forces you to grow. For instance, if you take responsibility of others, that forces you to grow. These are the three types of service. Services you are inspired to do, services that are needed, and services that force you to grow. This is, and if you asked me which one should I do, I would say do all three. but be careful with the last one. Don't do too much of the service which forces you to grow, because it can be an intense experience and you may not be yet prepared to deal with a lot of pressure. No, so, but you, this is good. Now, so empowerment is available to those who have a strong desire to serve. Start with the easy thing, what you are inspired to do, what you like to do. And then go to the other service that is needed, where there is a necessity, where you can really make a difference. And sometimes you may go to the third. Third point. If you want to be empowered, see the plan of the Lord, and for that, be connected to Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna. My dear devotees, let me ask you a good question. Has your heart already been conquered? When the heart is conquered, it's so easy to do services. Like, for instance, when in a relationship, once heart is conquered so much, then one is prepared to do anything and everything for the other person. No, that is not difficult. So I always want to say to the devotees, it will be easy for you to do service if your heart is conquered. How can our heart be conquered? Let's stand before Radha Madan Mohan and pray. How could they not conquer your heart? They have conquered the stone-like hearts of many, and so on. My fourth point is, if you want to do services, or if you want to be empowered, be prepared to face and overcome difficulties. Yes, there will be difficulties. And if you run away the moment the first obstacle or the second obstacle comes, you will not be able to really grow in your Krishna consciousness. Be prepared to face and overcome difficulties. One thing which is difficult for many devotees is to read regularly. That's almost a great difficulty. Devotees find various reasons why it's hard to read for them. But it can be done. It can be done. It can be done. And my last point is, if you want to stay on that high level, if you want to keep on flying high, I'm speaking to a Parsidani Thai. Then remain humble. In our hearts, there are always holes of pride, of self-centeredness. And when something comes in from bhakti and we have a heart full of holes, it's like a cup which has holes. When that you put charanamrita in your cup and it has some hole, and the whole thing goes out. So there is no bigger hole in the heart than the pride in a devotee. So only by humility this hole is stuffed up, closed, and you can go on to Krishna. Nityananda had said to Krishna Das Kaviraj, don't worry a bit, just go to Vrindavan. There you will obtain all desirable things. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami had started out on his journey to Vrindavan the next morning. I don't know how long he took, but it must be very long, because there were no, I think like 2 months or so, because there were no public transportations really. Maybe for royalty, for kings, there were chariots, but not for others. When he came to Vrindavan, what were the desirable things he attained? First was he had shelter in Vrindavan. Then he got the shelter of Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath, Swarup, Damodar, and all others, great devotees in other words. Then he had also understood the conclusions of bhakti and the taste of bhakti, Bhakti Siddhanta and Bhakti Rasa. And finally, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami had obtained the shelter of Madan Mohan and that of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. In the same way, I can encourage you, if you learn to act according to Krishna's plans, if you develop a desire to serve, if you want to see, to get the mercy of Hari Guru Vaishnava, if you are prepared to face difficulties, and if you are ready to hold the empowerment, you will also get shelter in Vrindavan, shelter at Rup and Sanatan's lotus feet. You will understand the confidential conclusions of bhakti, Bhakti Siddhanta, and Bhakti Rasa, and you will ultimately attain the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan and Radha Govinda. And I personally think that you will forget all these. So I give you one principle, only one. Make it simple, Sachinanda Swami. We suffer from an overdoses of information. This one principle is the principle we started out with. Go to Radha Madan Mohan and pray sincerely, honestly, intensely, tenaciously to them. And you will see that the deities will help you to cross over your limitations, which make you suffer and sad at times, and that you, they will take care that you're fully empowered. Hare Krishna. This is what I wanted to say. I want to end here and see if you have any questions, any strong disagreement, mild disagreements, or anything you would like to do to deepen the subject matter. Proceed, Anita. You were the first one. We kept your question on the burner.
So, sometimes obstacles look like a sign to do something else. We might think this was not Krishna's plan after all. Maybe it was just my own idea. So how to know in ourselves first of all, when to keep going to these obstacles,
yeah,
difficulties, or switch to something else out from inside.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very good question. Obstacles could be Krishna's sign that this is not the way you should take. Take another way. When do we know that obstacles are a sign that we should take another way, or they are a sign that we should just be keep on going and not give up the struggle? I would say that when an obstacle repeatedly shows itself, then look at another direction, another service, another situation, and if a situation turns up, an alternative, then you can say, Krishna has stopped me here, but he has shown me there where to go. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So he tells, when, however, there is an obstacle and you just don't see any other alternative, Krishna seems to not have given you any alternative, and then take it as a sign to just persist and endure and go through it. When Krishna wants you to stop endeavoring in one way, he will, when you are open, show you another way. That is what I've often seen in life. Thank you for your good question. Any other question?
Yes, sir, I have a question.
Jai Ram.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning you said that if we just stay on this path of Krishna consciousness, yeah, we would...
We have microphone.
Yesterday morning you began, I think, the lecture saying that if we just stay on this path of Krishna consciousness, you're citing Jiva Goswami, then we would get this result. And I have no problem with that, of course. And then this morning, or even just now, you're saying that if we want empowerment, then we have to be ready to accept difficulty. And you also cited Srila Prabhupada saying something to this effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like there could be a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
Could you please clear that up?
Yeah, yeah. The first statement, if you stay simply alive in bhakti, then it is sure, as sure as it is that a son will inherit the property of his father in due course of time. When you just stay on the path, it is so sure, like an inheritance, that you will get liberation from this material existence and attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So, to stay on this path of bhakti, and you asked, sorry, I'm just in many places at the moment with my thoughts, and therefore I need to really put some concentration here. Now, at the same time, when we walk on one way and we see there is an obstacle which is repeatedly blocking our progress, we should go somewhere else. But we should not, this going somewhere else and looking for alternatives is not looking for alternatives to bhakti, it's just looking for alternatives to this one project or this one plan which I have within bhakti. But bhakti, this is like a big road. There are many lanes on this road. You can do many things in bhakti, in devotional service. Some devotee, for instance, might try to do the service of a preacher, whereby which he spreads Krishna consciousness, but he finds out that no one listens to him and no one is interested in what he has to say. So then that same devotee might think, are there any alternatives for me? And he gets a letter, oh, Prabhu, we really need a pujari on the altar. Wow, that's an alternative. Let me try. It's not an alternative to bhakti. It's just a different line of service which he does. And he goes on the altar, and it is well possible that his nature is more like that of a pujari. He's not so outgoing like often preachers are. Often, not always they have to be like this. So, I am very, very, very convinced that on the path, or let us say, on the ship of ISKCON, which is helping us to cross the ocean of material existence by the various devotional activities which can be done, I'm very convinced that for every one of us, there is one activity on this ship. Maybe we are not so good in the kitchen. Maybe we are not so good at the navigation desk of the ship. Maybe we are very good, however, in bringing the sails up, you know, or something else. And in the same way, we have to find where is our place, where we can be inspired, where we can find deep nourishment. That should be our main service. And then sometimes on a Jamashtami day or in the festival, we do things as they are needed. No? And there will be sometimes times when we think, oh, I think I will really grow if I go out with Aditya Baladev and distribute books. Wow! I'm going to take courage and go out. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. I saw Manjulali and then I have Manjul. Oh, now I don't tell. Ich krieg das schon hin. Manjulamani, nicht? Manjulamani, oder? Ja, ich schaff das. Ja. Und dann Ballgewinner, ne?
I just, because Mr. Gosti used to be also sometimes about some practical points. Mm-hmm. So for almost 25 years, we have an ongoing Sunday feast program.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow or other, because of Corona and lockdown, it was for some time not taking place, and now we have kind of like started up again. What can we do that this program is successful and that the devotees really want to take part and find their place on the ship of the Sunday Feast program?
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes it's like, is it just for the new guests or should it also cater to the devotees who are here? What should we do?
Yeah, very good question. Very good question. I have personally thought a lot about it. How to make the Sunday feast attractive? Now, the first question you have to raise is, who are the main people who come to the Sunday feast? Every preacher always asks the first question, what is my audience? Who is my audience? If I have one type of audience, I will use my words in a way that they can relate to. If I have another type of audience, I will use my words in a different way. Now, the problem with Sunday feasts in general is that you have a mixed audience. Devotees come who are maybe practicing for many years Krishna consciousness, but you also have the occasional drop-in guest who just comes because maybe his friends have told him, and he doesn't really understand anything. There are some models in some temples where you have separate Sunday feasts, one for the old timers, the other for the newcomers. But this was going on, but to my knowledge, it was abolished. In other words, the devotees decided, let's have one Sunday feast for everyone. So Manjulamani, it requires a little research. I don't feel confident to tell you the perfect model of a Sunday feast. Obviously, there are some elements which are sure, kirtan before the deity, so that everyone also likes, newcomers and people. I would then say a lecture which addresses maybe a point of relevance that is relevant for two types of people. For instance, the subject matter of empowerment or being helped or supported to grow beyond your limits is of interest to practicing devotees and non-devotees. And there are other such lectures. A good devotee where you can look for inspirations to give such lecture is Sutapa Prabhu. He has lectures for both types of audiences from the Bhaktivedanta manner. And then I would do something for the new people that is a tour over the property, a really attractive tour. Here is the temple room, and then you explain the deities, Prabhupada's position. It's very interesting for newcomers, and you can really, those who give the tour can really develop a very attractive tour plan, you know, and they make stations. They stop here, they stop at the temple, then wow, we go to the gardens and we talk a little bit about how nature is an energy of Krishna in our understanding, and we actually grow things here in nature that we offer back to Krishna. Wow! You know, the circle of energy is closed. Then you go next to the guest house and you talk about the guest culture of Krishna consciousness, that one sees guests actually as representatives of Krishna, especially the guests who are unannounced. Wow! And then you show them. You can even make up stations which you think are interesting. Down at the river, you know, this is a river. Wow, it's good for meditation. Sometimes we chant here, and there should be a devotee who doesn't sleep at the moment in his japa, you know. and in other words, you make such a tour. I think that is highly attractive. And I have seen in temples like the Bhaktivedanta Manor, they have an ox cart to tour. And even pop stars go on the ox cart tour, you know. Make it attractive, tell something. Of course, not when they have smelled the prasadam, and they maybe after the prasadam, you know, when they have eaten something. I think a tour is highly interesting. Isn't it the moment we come to an interesting place we want to look? Like yesterday, many of us were invited to Nandi Mukhi, and I for sure wanted immediately to see the rooms which were okay to be seen because this is normal. Or I see when people come and visit, they want to know how is everything here. And if you show them, they are very grateful and inspired. And maybe at the end, give them a little book, like a small book, which they can read. Something nice, easy. Chant and be happy, for instance, yes. Or anything. Have such little books available which you can give as presents to the people. And then they say, wow, we were at the end of the tour, we got our present. It's almost like our diploma. You know, we made a tour through the Krishna culture temple. Wow. That is what I always thought should be done. And a nice, attractive tour. Maybe you have even someone, I don't know now, I think, do we have now dancers? Only Vajendra Kumar, maybe. I'm joking. Or me, I am a dancer also. But maybe some cultural small little thing that is inspirational. Of course, a Mahasweet is also a cultural thing, you know. So, in brief, I think this would be what I see. Prepare your talks very nicely if you do it. And I must tell you, Manjulamani, Sunday lecture is the most difficult lecture for me to give. I know how to speak with to devotees. I mean, I'm not saying I'm doing it very nicely, but I have an idea what they would be interested in. I know when I'm in a yoga school or at a conference what to say, but to a mixed audience, oof. I remember when I was in the Heidelberg Temple and I every Sunday was giving the class, I was thinking the whole week about the class, and sometimes half an hour before my class, I had no idea because it's so difficult to talk to a mixed audience. So you might like to take help from existing Sunday lectures or devotees who are expert to address both of these audiences. You might like Sutapa. I'm really a fan of Sutapa's lectures. Mm-hmm. But it's good if you can make an attractive Sunday feast. Then it's also good if I heard from here devotees in the past, you know, before the pandemic, they were going regularly for Harinam, and then they should have little brochures or little something with invitations which they hand out. Or you can maybe look at your web page. Do you have a good advertisement for the Sunday program that which everyone easily finds so that they can find it? And maybe you have someone who knows social networking who puts the invitation into different forums, you know. That interesting Sunday. I think if you say love feast, they are afraid. What could this mean? You know, you have to find the right word nowadays. Very important. Sara Shiva has good words in Berlin for the Sunday feast. Get together. Experience spirituality like such things. You know, it has to be. Here comes my new word, cool. You know, then people come.
But it's also to get all the services covered by devotees who want to, you know, because it's
cooking, receiving guests, cleaning.
Serving up the prasadam, it's still, there are lots of service, even the simple thing that everybody could kind of like feel inspired to give a little donation for the Sunday feast. All these, it's all small things, but it's like you definitely need more manpower than with what we have at the moment. You know, that also that the temple is like welcoming. I see sometimes the temple devotees, they kind of like, because they have full service. And if after the Sunday feast services are left, which were not covered, then it's on the temple devotees. And it's not nice, but it's we have to find solutions and how to.
Here is a solution. Yeah. All the workaways stay for half a year. I'm joking, by the way.
Mother allows him because she wants to work her ways out of the Sunday. But I just say that's a good solution. But
yeah,
there are more services for a nice Sunday feast, even if we don't have a tour and just do the minimum, than what we can cover. And my desire is to see that this is like a project for all of us.
Community project,
it's
yes.
It's not the temple. It's not the Sunday feast team. We have a small team, like department head. Like we have a pujari department. We have a Sunday feast department. It's not really just the Sunday feast department's service. It's actually much more.
Yeah, I understand. I understand, Manjulamani. Maybe you or anyone from the team goes, rings at the door of the Grihasthas and say, no idea, I want to speak with you about it. And then introduce the Sunday feast as something where the community can come together. Then you need to have a little sheet of paper or a list of services that need to be covered. And the more detailed you make it, the less time they take, you know. So then everyone could do it, yeah. Manjulamani, you know me, I'm not so much a practical person, but I know for everything you do, you need a vision, you need persons who are fulfilling the vision, and if it is something where you spend money, you need some Lakshmi for this. And if you have the three intact, a vision, the people who execute the vision, and the required financial support, then a vision can easily be put into practice. And it seems to me that the Sunday feast at the moment is, let me say, needs to be restarted again. And I think it's a good time to think about it, because soon the cold seasons will come. And so you need to work a little on the list of things that need to be covered, and then find devotees who feel happy to do this. But I like your vision very much, that the Sunday is a community project, Sunday feast. However, you must. Of course, consider, and I think you do this already, we have a few devotees who work the whole week, and then Sunday, oh, Sunday, lazy Sunday afternoon, I got no time to worry. You know, it's an old song about Sunday afternoon. So you have to keep also when they are really exhausted, the devotees from a whole week, you can't just put another responsibility into their lap. My Allheilmittel, my cure for all, is we need more devotees. And for that we need preaching we need to have a department who is free to do this, and that would be a solution. But if you go on with this work away program, you know, that is so nice that I think Madana Lhasa takes care of the work aways, and they feel happy and inspired, then some will be willing to give more time, maybe half a year, a few months in their spiritual journey, and then continue. Hare Krishna. I cannot give more because I'm not so practical. Maybe if you call me from Berlin, then I go with the airplane. What can I do? I can wipe the floor. I'm extremely clean by nature. What else? I can smile. I can dance. So, but it's a little impractical if you if I fly every Sunday, and maybe it's a little impractical. Hare Krishna. So, Bal Govinda. We have a microphone for you.
The question is to the point of the empowerment. How to approach the topic of looking for service, for seva? Is it, what is the better way? To look actively for service or to wait, to be open for service and to wait that service is being given to one? Or is there really a balance?
Yeah.
Which one is more in the sense of being open to Krishna's
name? Very good question, very good question. You all understood the question? I would say, if you have capacity free, and you think there is need for one service, there's a service which should be done, then you could speak with the devotees, and then it can be done. Let me just say something in German. Birgit, ich weiß, du gehst. Ich will dir nur sagen, ganz herzlichen Dank für das Schreiben. Das war also ein richtiges inspiriertes Schreiben. Also ich habe, also es ist wirklich großartig gelungen. Ich wusste nicht, dass du so eine Art von Schreibkunst hast. Das ist ja auch, also das sollte man unbedingt weiter pflegen. Wer weiß, vielleicht wärst du ein Bestseller-Autor. Ja, die Ideen sind da, oder?
Ich weiß nicht, ich habe auch gedacht, für ein besseres Schreibsel danke dir.
Also ich war total beeindruckt.
Ja, vielen Dank. Ich
wollte
nur mal kurz noch
ein Häppchen schreiben. Ach so, ja, das ist ja da. Gibt es. Ach so, gut. Unbedingt machen. Auch ein großes Häppchen. Ja, so when you have capacity free and you see there is something which either needs to be done or which you are inspired to do, then I would just see with the devotees, because we are here as a community and everything needs to, so to say, fit into the on the offering plate of service which we want to offer Radha Madan Mohan every day. And if it does, if it fits into the taste of the whole project, then I think it is also good to suggest that I could do this service. No, I think it is a balance, as you say. Sometimes, for instance, when we do kirtan seva, it's good if someone requests us, could you please sing? Sometimes you may be the person who goes to devotees and says, can you please sing? Can you please sing? Go Krishna, can you please sing? Like this, no? That is a service where we should be asked to do things. That's the normal Vaishnava etiquette. When there is other areas where you see here is a vacancy, also eine Leerstelle, then you can and you feel inspired to cover this, then I think you should definitely make a suggestion. I think this should be done. So sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like that. Good. Anyone else? Narayani? Nee, aber entschuldige, ich möchte dich auf keinen Fall in eine schwierige Situation versetzen im Leben. Aber du, nein, ich habe gedacht. Yes. Das war aber, also, du brauchst dich nicht vor mir zu fürchten. Ich bin ein ganz zahmer Mensch. Ja. Ja.
I would just like to first thank you for visiting our community and giving your association. Thank you very much. My question, oftentimes you're speaking about nurturing the devotees. I've heard this before. Perhaps not often, but I've heard it from you. How it's important to nurture devotees. Could you please tell us what that means on a practical level?
To nurture devotees. This idea comes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there needs to be as bhakti is like a seed which is put into the fertile ground of the heart, and after the seed is in the earth, it needs to be nourished or nurtured by like a real seed is nurtured with water, it needs to be nurtured with Shravanam and Kirtanam. So, in a traditional sense, nurturing devotees means these two things, Shravanam and Kirtanam. I have seen that after the festival of Jamashtami, where we had a lot of hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna, many devotees commented, wow, it was such a nice Jamashtami festival. Why do they say this? Because their bhakti lata had been nurtured and it has grown, their bhakti has grown. Now, nurturing devotees also takes on a practical sense. Then, when it's practical, it's often called caring for devotees in our lingo, our language, which means you see that they have the needs covered. Every human being has needs for food, water, air, sleep. So you need to take care of these things. Then everyone wants some security. You know that this is not infringed upon by others. Then another need is a sense of belonging. Human beings want to belong to something, a group of people. So you have to give them a little recognition. You know that we care for you, and so on. And then they want to. When these needs are fulfilled, they can really think of contributing to others. I found out as someone who tries to nurture and care for devotees, if their basic needs of food, etc., sleep and so on, security, and the sense of belonging is not taken care of, if you ask them to contribute, they will look at you, wow, Maharaj, I'm a needy person myself. So caring for our devotees and giving them these needs which they need in this, you know, pyramid of needs, you could say, or circle of needs, depending how you approach it, is necessary if you want to ask them to contribute. In summary, nurturing a devotee means mainly to take care that they grow up in a spiritual atmosphere where they are nourished by Shravanam, Kirtanam, and so on. And it means also to care for devotees in a practical sense by taking care of their various needs. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Gaura Hari. Our Matajis are silent. Nandi Mukhi, no word from you today. Not yet clear. It needs to be processed more. So keep on doing it, no? Maybe you want to also eat a little prasadam in between. Ja, erst Gaura Hari, dann dich, oder? Du, ja.
Thank you, Gaurav. In the, I think the first point you were mentioning of being open for Krishna's plan and not be too much on our own concept or our plan of how to, things should be done, that was a little bit touching me, and I thought that maybe I have to do some work, some homework myself. And then I wanted to ask the question, how do we do? Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? And now in the summary you said, yeah, this detachment comes when there is more attachment for Krishna. Now if I try to see through the day, okay, time to times, maybe, yeah, time to times some attachment for Krishna is there. Most of the time, person like I am in the prison of my concept and my wish and my controlling nature. And I wanted to see if you have some other advice how we can learn to be more empty and more letting go. If you have some other tip to help to let go on our concept and vision and desires and controlling mood.
Mm-hmm. Is the question clear of Gaura Hari? It's a very nice and personal question. I think there are two things which you need. Observation, and then a willingness to look again, to look for other situations. I would like to give you a practical example. There, I can't think of any better example than this example from my own life. I really, really wanted last year to go to Vrindavan, and then it was not possible. Then I really wanted to go to another place, not, I didn't want to stay in my little ashram. I had already rented a place, but due to the worldwide reaction to the coronavirus, I was not able to go either. Then there was another problem. I had contracted corona myself, and I was really suffering. Our whole ashram was down in the bed. You were there, and so on. So I observed all these signs. I have corona, I can't go to India, I can't go even to the alternative place, which I found a place where I could be very much away from everything and be concentrate totally on my Kartik observances. So I observed all this and I thought maybe my plan to get away for the month of Kartik is not Krishna's plan. I observed this because one door after the other closed. So then I looked again. So first you observe, and then I looked again for alternatives. And I found a very nice alternative. I just stopped my I always have very, very demanding service the whole day. It's more writing, you know, social preaching on the computer and all these things. And I stopped this and created really a Vrindavan in the Gaura Bhavan and a nice schedule, early to bed, early up in the morning, and nice. And I had a very blissful experience of by looking, making, looking again at something. So it may sound very simple, but I was so attached to my plan to go away on that island in the sea, the same sea where I spent 13 years of my life, you know, I thought this has a calming effect on me. But now I could have forced it. The people actually wanted to have me. And they said, come on, you just come and we will somehow, we will organize everything. But I understood it was not Krishna's plan. And I looked for another alternative. So when you see in your life that you've come to this same obstacle again, you should be willing to observe this and not say no, 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 and just bulldoze on with your own plan. But you should say, no, no, see, I'm seeing here. One door after the other closes. Now, I will not become discouraged. Let me look again, and you will, if there is an alternative, and usually you will find one. Usually you find to everything a very good alternative. We talked today about the health of one devotee in our community, and we understood this devotee is unhealthy due to too much stress, no? And then we could say, well, keep on stressing, but we said, no, no, let me look for alternatives. And we found alternatives. It's very simple. Observe, learn to observe. Learn to attentively, consciously, honestly observe your environment. And once you have done that, look for other opportunities. When you see that the doors are closing for you on one road, on one in one way. Look at Prabhupada Gaurahari. Prabhupada came from India and he tried in Butler, Pennsylvania. No, he tried in a yoga ashram outside of New York. No, it didn't work. He tried this, and then he tried that, and finally he sat under the tree in Thompson Square Park, and it worked. he understood, this is good, this I will keep on going. This is what Krishna has given to me. But if you are not open, if Prabhupada would not have been open, he would stayed in Butler, Pennsylvania, and you wouldn't have become a devotee. Sometimes it's difficult for us to see. Sometimes we do actually need other eyes to see. Our own eyes see things always in a specific way, like a pair of glasses. Our eyes do allow us to see things in a particular way, and therefore we overlook so many other things. Then we may need another set of glasses. That means the eyes of someone else. And for that, it is good to have devotees who dare to speak to us. Sometimes dare, yes, I chose this word deliberately, who are willing to tell us something which we have overlooked. Usually the first reaction of someone whom you tell that which he has overlooked or she has overlooked is a protest. No, no, no. Then you know, okay, I'm right. Because it's a blind spot. It cannot be seen. Therefore, when it is pointed out, it is at first something, I can't see that. It is something which is met with protest. It's normal for a normal person. So, but if you have devotees who are, and I think you will have, who give you a feedback, they can say, why don't you try this? I think this is what you should do. I have very much profited myself from these devotees who have pointed out things for me. Good. So, here is our Narayani. Wir haben ein Mikrofon für dich.
Ich habe nochmal meine Notizen gerade durchgeguckt von gestern Abend. Und da habe ich, da hast du gesagt, so die Botschaft ist, du, also ich sage das gerade in Deutsch,
ja.
Du brauchst nicht mehr, also nicht mehr also, so viel Philosophie.
Ja.
Lieber ist es besser, mal eine, die Nahrung von Erfahrung zu bekommen,
genau.
Anstelle von immer nur Philosophie, Philosophie, sodass du noch mehr surrendern kannst. Habe ich das, so wie ich mir das notiert habe, richtig verstanden? Du hast, glaube ich, das Beispiel dann auch gegeben, zum Beispiel eine Pilgerreise machen, dass man so eine Erfahrung macht.
Ja. Yeah, yes, Narayani is referring to a lecture which I gave yesterday in the evening at Nandimukhi's house, where I said, you don't need so much philosophy any longer, you need experience. I would like to, and she obviously wants a clarification, because we always hear you need Siddhanta, Tattva, to base everything on. I purposefully spoke a little thought provocative. I wanted to provocate new thoughts yesterday, and see, what I meant is, philosophy can be quite theoretical. It can be jnana, as we know. And there is a lot of this type of philosophical, let me say, or philosophy, which is very much, let me say, related to only thinking, not acting. For instance, many devotees can even talk nowadays very heated about where does the soul come from and give really elaborate philosophical arguments for their points. But I do remember how Prabhupada said, don't worry about this, be practical, get out of this world, see how you can get out of this world, no? Because the problem with too much philosophy is that it becomes a mental exercise, a mental weight lifting, and who can lift the highest weights or bring the most difficult or complex points, he wins the argument. I wanted to say, this type of philosophizing is not helping us. Only philosophy that really equips us, or also die uns ausstattet with tools to act in an improved way in Krishna consciousness, will be very helpful, no? You need to act. Talk less, act more in Krishna consciousness. It is like this. But of course, we will all enjoy till the end of our lives a good philosophical class, you know, with this highly stimulating and so on, and some it can be motivating. But if we don't do anything, there will be little benefit. Well, I do remember in this connection, Prabhupada telling a story. Yeah, but I don't remember the story now. There was some story, but it's a little complicated. I can't remember it now. So, I wish you a lot of... Prabhupada writes about this somewhere, that it's just a seed of bhakti, or, you know, devotion, and devotional service, is more worth than thousands of tons of philosophical speculation. There's such a statement in the second canto. So philosophy, I spoke that we don't need this too much theoretical philosophy. Especially not when our name is Narayani. No, I'm a person who wants to make spiritual experiences, who wants to be in touch with life, and so on. I mean it like this. This is what I thought. Nandi Mukhi, Hare Krishna, we have a microphone for you. Are you referring to the interview which I gave with Martin?
About
the
devotee from India.
Chaitanya Charan, maybe. Yeah, the monk's broadcast. Yeah. Could you please help me to again phrase your question? Why I was, when you started to speak, I got stuck on one point and didn't hear so attentively. It was my mistake, please.
Mm-hmm. I found it, and I spoke also with some devotees. It sounds at first very attractive, this theme.
Autonomy. When you get into the
to not go completely in the other direction, but somehow to find the balance.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nandi Mukhi. I do know that this is what thought provoking. I wanted to, maybe certainly I must have not been totally clear. When we take care of our body and our mind, we can obviously do this in a self-centered, self-indulgent way, and there's never an end to the demands of the body and the mind. Therefore, I wanted to say in the interview that you need to do that in a context. You need to do it in such a way that your body and mind serve you to attain your major goal in life. And I wanted to give the analogy of when you have a car, if you just take care of the car for its own sake, polishing it, you can polish it and polish it and polish it, and put, you know, then this would be very wrong. You need to take care of the car in such a way that it can serve you to get to your goal. We had a neighbor. He had a very nice and expensive Mercedes Benz, and he would work all week. Most probably, had to pay back the rents, the payment for the car, and on weekends he would polish his car. We never saw him once driving anywhere. So obviously his care of the car was excessive, war übertrieben, and did not serve the purpose of having a car. In the same way, when you just take care of your body and your mind and you don't use it in Krishna's service, what is that? So take care so that you can do the service, sis, in that way. Prabhupada used to say that this body is like a tree, and when we take nicely care of it, it can give us a fruit, the fruit of self-realization. So in the framework of taking of reaching Krishna consciousness and reaching your spiritual goal, there in that framework you take care of the body, not for its own sake. You don't just sleep and eat and then you don't do nothing with the body and mind. Because then the body and mind, you will become the slave of the body and mind and forget to be the slave. Oh, slave sounds so bad. Servant of Krishna in this degree. I have seen devotees who have gotten this fine distinction wrong. They lived a life of sacrifice, then they became physically and mentally exhausted, and then they left their service and said, now I need to take care of my body and my mind. This is not right. They should have found the middle way to take care of the body and the mind so that they can do service. I saw this. There were once two pujaris here. They would not even go to the bathroom. Seva, Radha Madan Mohan. What happens to a human being who doesn't go to the bathroom regularly? His nerves will break one day. And this happened. They left the service all together. I said, please go to the bathroom. Then you can keep on your service. I quoted a very nice, I was armed for this, you know, because it's so new in ISKCON that to speak in such a balanced way about it, so I will have to give many more lectures like this in the to our audience. There is a quotation. I found this quotation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who said, let me love Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let me love the devotees, let me love all these people, and let me love also myself. Because I'm inclined to serve Krishna. He doesn't say, let me love myself, full stop, end of the story. He says, let me love myself who am inclined to serve Krishna. He could have said also, because I am inclined to for Krishna, I love myself so that I can serve him. Is it clear? Oh, good. Your face is unmoved, so I did not know if you agree or disagree or understand. So it's also im Rahmen, nicht? Im Rahmen. I want to tell you, I remember I was, after the sepsis, after I had this bad infection, Gaurahari drove me to Belkane. Gaurahari was exhausted because he was in anxiety day in and day night, and you know, it was not sure how I would do. So I sent him home that he should take care of his mind, you know, send him back. So I went to the Belkanes, and there I was still very bad. And one day I went to a doctor, Belkane doctor, Sarajevo doctor, and the doctor said, "Doesn't look good with you. You better love yourself." I thought, please, not now. Now, don't try to spoil the rest bit of enthusiasm by your love yourself. It sounded so wrong, and I still feel it was wrong. If he would have said, "Take care of your body so that you can serve Krishna many more years," it would have sounded right. But he stopped in "love yourself" or "take care of yourself" and didn't conclude the sentence. There was a big missing gap. He seemed to encourage me for egoism, for materialism, for all the things which we don't wish. But it took me years to complete his sentence. You know, love, take care of yourself, so that you can serve Krishna nicely. Thank you, Nandimukhi. And the program was so nice yesterday. I was just so happy to be in your house and greet your Vayu. He was the best. Black cat, who normally black cats, we are afraid when they cross our way. The bridge busy stop and say prayers when a black cat comes. When it comes from left, was it left? Wait a minute, I have to see. No, from right to left. When it comes from right to left, then they go like, Hanuman, Hanuman. And then only they drive, the bridge busy drivers, you know, like this. But this was a very auspicious cat. I felt immediately very blessed by the presence of the... Is his name Tiger or... Shyam, oh sorry. Hare Krishna. No, ich scherze nicht mehr. Also ich finde das gut, die waren so richtig am... Also ich muss es immer betonen, weil manchmal weiß man nicht, was ich mit meinem blöden Witzen sagen will, aber ich meine das so, wie ich sage. Gut. Here is the last question for today by Madana Lassa.
Which I'm thinking for a long time. So we always try to serve Guru and Krishna, and that's very nice, and somehow it's not so hard to serve Guru and see him as your idol and object of worship, but I have difficulty, for example, to serve devotees. And I'm thinking, all like in maybe first few years of Krishna consciousness, I tried so much to establish this relationship with Guru and deities, but now somehow my goal is more to establish relationship with devotees who are around me and go more deeper, because I'm thinking that this is actually the first step. But it's, I think, also harder because I see faults in devotees more than that I see, for example, this in Guru. But also I feel that my Guru wants this, that I'm here in this moment and that I do from this spot where I am. So can you maybe tell me, is this good way of thinking, and can you give some tips about this?
Mm-hmm. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are three objects of our service: Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. And they are all important. All. One, two, three. Not just one and the other are not important. No, they are all important. So, I want to give you a tip how you can remain enthusiastic in service of the Vaishnavas. There is plan A and plan B. Plan A is to serve the Vaishnavas and see that they are all servants of Krishna. And no matter if I like a style of a Vaishnava or the way he expresses himself, his habits, and so on, since he is a servant of Krishna, I will focus on that. This means immediately that I should address him as a servant of Krishna. I should bring some spiritual element in my discussions. You can't talk to everyone like you would talk to your friends. If you talk with devotees, to all devotees, like you would talk to your friends, it wouldn't work, because some are so different that you would never be friends if there would not be Krishna consciousness there. You follow what I say? There are some people you would never even consider to talk to if you look for friendly relationships, because they are different. We look for friends amongst people who are either equal, like we are, they are like us, or they complement our nature. They are against in Deutsch. If I look, well, I won't look around in this room, but if I look around in the movement, there are maybe 5% of the members would be my friends in this world. The other 95%, I would never meet them. You know, our ways would be so different, and so on. But now I'm with them in the movement. Why? Not because they would be my friends. Because we all serve Krishna. That means when I want to relate to them, I always have to talk about Krishna. I have noted with some people, if I would talk about things which friends talk about, what do you think about this or that, we would be disagreeing so much. But if I say, what do you think about this Krishna conscious point or this how to make advancement? Whew, such compatible and good answers come. That's the first thing. Try to relate to devotees on the spiritual level. Put an element of Krishna consciousness in your communication and you will see it will work. Because only on that level are you related. You would not relate on another level. Now the second point. Some devotees are just so different from us, doesn't mean they are difficult, they're just different from us, that it is not possible to to even talk with them about spiritual subjects. It's so different. At that time, I think this is plan B. Don't try. You have tried a few times and it did not work. Don't try. Just be polite, be kind. But understand that at this moment we cannot so much find a level of communication and so on. That's plan B. When plan A doesn't work, plan A is to be applied first, that I try to see them as part of Krishna and relate to them in this way, only in that way. Be careful to start to talk glupost with them. They will kill you if you do this. You can talk glupost with your friend. You know, the Prajalpa talk, which Mataji is like. Which human beings like, I wanted to say. It's not typical to only Mataji's. Which human beings like. No, that talk with your friends about these things. Of concern. If this doesn't work, then just sometimes relationships are better when they're kept in the distance. I have seen many times. Then there is no. Then you don't get onto each other's sensitive spots, so to say. You can sing kirtan and dance in kirtan. That's you can eat prasadam together. You can listen lectures together. But other things which require some being close. It unless you are world master in communication, that can be. But if it's, I think you spoke of a difficulty. He has a difficulty, so it seems to not be so easily possible. And therefore, I give you the advice I've given. Is my advice clear? Thank you. Thank you. Ananga Manjari, wir sind eigentlich schon zu Ende. Question, yes. Rezi. Small world, yeah.
That big. So if you are looking at this concept, I see many lonely, and it's like this, it's affected many lonely devotees around.
Let me speak about what is intended when you use a certain language. When I say, let's try plan B, A, then in my understanding it means try really that this works, that you communicate with devotees and you communicate to devotees and knowing so well that they may be different, on have different tastes and so on, when it comes to these relative things, these subjects which you sometimes talk about in relaxed talks, things in relationship with the world, tastes, colors of saris, you know, these normal things, if you know it, it will be, there will be no get together. Then talk only on Krishna conscious matters, and or related to spiritual advancement. I didn't say don't talk to those who don't who are not in your on your level, so to say, who you don't. No, I said talk to them. This is what I wanted to say, but it was maybe not so clearly expressed because I gave a plan B. That was the emergency plan when all everything, when the houses crash, you know, and so on. But in normal life, plan A should be done. I noted yesterday, I saw three people who did not appreciate songs with guitar and Western music. They were really challenged. I could see that. In the, you know, when you sit before everyone, you can see. And since they are, it's after a festival and the nerves are not so strong and the social skills not so developed, they were boiling. So with these, you don't talk, you better do just bhajan, because that's what they like, and that's what you also like, and so on. No, this is what I wanted to say, and they are wonderful devotees, and you should associate with them on that level which they like and which you like also. Why risk something about relative musical tastes, you know. I liked very much. Ooh, and did you notice Vajendra Kumar singing with so much emotion about how his Lord addressed him and accepted him unconditionally? So good. I like very much, but not everyone can, when they hear English words and Gita, they go like, they are, and worry. So, so therefore, let's associate on the with everyone on the spiritual level, because everyone here is a devotee. He will like it if you address them on the spiritual level. It's a very good atmosphere, and so on. With your friends, you deal in a different. You can also talk about what is on your mind. These normal things which we talk about with human beings. I learned this from my mother, and then later from Srila Prabhupada. We lived in a house, a big house, and there were different rooms. And in different rooms, we welcomed different people. Like the postman could come to the wardrobe, and if he needed to go to the bathroom, we had a bathroom for outside people. We would not invite them to the shower in the bathroom where the parents took their shower. No. That was only for other people. And then there's room for others. We children could eat in the kitchen. But only my friends and me, not everyone. My mother took really care. And I have seen in Brijbasi houses the same. There are rooms where only the most intimate people can come. And then there's room where everyone can come. And everyone means really everyone plus everyone plus everyone, many. And I think in Krishna consciousness we have this room where everyone is so much welcome. It's in kirtan, in talking about the philosophy, in service, in doing the same project. But then there are rooms which you only enter with your most confidential friends. Not with everyone. you would invite everyone to your room with confidential friends, they would criticize you. Why is this not there? Why this picture and not that picture? Hare Krishna, you may have already experienced of this. It's just some skill. But Ananga Manjari, you have heard that I excluded people. No, I'd only said, for you have to have the right space and the right form of communication for everyone. If you reveal your mind to just someone who thinks so differently from you, then you will feel hurt and you will don't, and you might not come for half a year to the temple. Good. Fine. Now I see still Manjula, we wanted to end. Is this okay?
It's okay. The point is just that you can still serve everybody.
Yeah.
There are services you give where you don't discriminate if it's a friend or not a friend.
Service is very much possible. That's a very nice point. Thank you. When you serve devotees according to what they need, I would like to add this, because sometimes you come, may I serve you? Someone will say, like, what do you want of me? You know, according to their need. You need to be. Prabhus, I'm telling you, I'm now so long in this. So many devotees are hurt when they open their heart and they are not understood by the others. So I'm just trying to protect you with some common sense. Hare Krishna. Fine. Should we end on this note? No, no. 5 minutes, Kirtan. Please. Would you stay?
Yes.
Literally 5 minutes. No. Krishna. What do we know? Unglaublich, danke. Unglaublich. Thank you. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Oh Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, everybody please again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. One more time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Srila, Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Krishna. Isn't it so easy when in Kirtan we all are very much together? That is the family. We are a Kirtan family, Anangamanjari. And you know how to sing nicely Kirtan. So that is the way to connect. Amongst other things, many other things. Hare Krishna, I will say goodbye to all of you. Live very Krishna conscious, and I see you whenever Krishna. I do not yet know, but soon I see you soon. Hare Krishna.